live. Yeah, yeah, we going live. Hey, hey, we going live. Yeah, yeah, we going live. Yeah, yeah, we going. Yeah, 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 we going. Yeah, 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 we going live. From the 50-yard line, we going live. From the 50-yard line, we going live.
Hello, beautiful people.
Hello, hello, hello.
I am Jared, the football genius Burgess.
And I'm Stephanie Fitzpatrick, a.k.a. The Advantage Coach.
And this is episode 160 of the Field to the Real podcast. Numbers just climbing.
Yeah.
160 I love it. Episodes.
Listen.
Almost 3.5 years worth of podding.
And of podding. Absolutely. Yes. Nothing but a blessing. Okay. Yeah. Nothing but a blessing. And yeah. Clearly, we do it because we love it.
Right. Shout out to the shout out to the sponsors.
Yes. We just calling y'all. We calling y'all out right now. Uh-huh. Come on. Down. We pulling it all the way down right now.
Yes.
Yep. In the name of Jesus, we are calling you. Yes.
Let the church say amen.
Okay. Amen.
Now, let's jump into this. Who's really right?
Yes.
We kind of saw last night one of the teams who will be going to the conference finals.
Yes.
With the Heat defeating the 76ers in the Eastern Conference semifinals. And can I just say, how can you not love Jimmy Butler? How can you not love him?
So I loved the energy. Mm-hmm. That he played with. Mm-hmm. And quite honestly, I think it was extra on top of the normal Jimmy Butler energy. Mm-hmm. Because there's some personal feelings about mm-hmm. that whole situation.
And he let them,
and
he put them
and
on
he did not hide how he felt about it. And so, yeah, because I think there was a video of him on Instagram
walking into the
locker room, like, mm-hmm. trade me for Jim. Like, yeah, oh,
y'all,
okay.
y'all chose Tobias Harris over me?
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
You know how I feel about Jimmy Butler.
I know how you feel about him.
Like, and this is what I don't understand. And this is why Miami was the perfect place for him. Under Pat Riley, mm-hmm. under Eric Spoelstra, and just under that organization.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they just have a really gritty, grimy style of play, which is the reason why. Way. Yeah, and that's just the culture down there.
Mm-hmm.
So Jimmy Butler fit perfectly into that culture.
Yes, he did.
And so I'm happy for him because I feel like, depending on who wins the other Eastern Conference semifinal games between the Bucks and the Celtics, depending on who wins that game will determine who goes to the finals. Right. And so we know that in the bubble, that was the team who knocked off the Bucks. But I think if the Bucks get Chris Middleton back, that might just prove to be too much for them. So, but I won't go into all my picks because I know I just did that one. I apologize.
You did. I'm already started.
No, the rest of the conference semifinals, who do you have winning? We already know that the Heat have moved on. They're in the conference mm-hmm. finals. Who do you have for the rest of these semifinal games?
So I feel like in the other Eastern Conference final game that you just mentioned, the Bucks and the Celtics, that's a dogfight. And it's a toss-up, honestly, it's really about how the Celtics play. To me, I don't feel like the Bucks have given them all they got, right? I feel like it's the Celtics. If y'all come out, if you have another game where Al Horford is off the charts,
Fortune.
Like he was in the fourth quarter of that game, four, mm-hmm. like, you know, it's just possible, right? It's possible. Mm-hmm. They have to do better, a better job of shooting. But I feel like ultimately the Bucks are probably going to win this series. Yeah. And then the other side, Lord have mercy. This has just been bonkers on the West. It's mm-hmm. bonkers.
Yeah.
I expected this to be over already, right?
A lot of people.
Huh?
I said a lot of people did.
Yeah. So the first game I'll talk about, the first game gotcha. Six we've got coming up is the Suns and Grizzlies. No, Suns and
Mavericks.
And Mavericks.
That's a game seven though.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they are a game.
Dallas won last night.
That's right.
Yeah.
I believe Dallas is going to take this one. I feel like the Suns have run out of gas.
Well.
And the one thing I will say is, I don't think he's cursed. I do not think that CP3 is cursed. I don't. But I think that his height becomes a liability.
Okay.
It does. It becomes a liability at some point. When you got Luka, this dude is, I don't even know what to say. And he's pissed at this point. Devin Booker done pissed him off. So
I like Luka. It's like,
I like his little, it's like, a little swaggy, kind of gritty, nasty.
It's like
I don't care who.
It's like Dirk Nowitzki and Magic Johnson had a baby.
Oh Lord. But you gotta throw somebody who had a bad attitude a little bit in there too, because he kind of nasty with it. Like
yes, yeah.
He talked junk. He like yeah, yeah, he all of that, right? So I think I don't want it to be that way. I would like to see the Suns move on. I really would. If for no reason, other reason, other than for their coach, I would like to see them move on. I mean, I have nothing against Jason Kidd, but he ain't my favorite, right? So if I got to pick one, it's Monty, right? Okay. But I feel
it's only two black coaches, though.
I know. But how many were in at the beginning, at the point of all of this, like, really, right?
Mm-hmm.
Out of the four games and the eight teams, what was it, four or six of them were black? Because that's Boston, that's 76ers, that's the Mavericks, that was the Suns. And before it was, who did Memphis play? No, who did the Suns play?
Suns played the
Pelicans.
I don't remember. Pelicans.
He black. Can't think his name right now. Because Monty Williams are best friends.
Yes, because Monty Williams was in New Orleans.
Yep. So like that's five out of was pretty nice, deep nice into amount. This.
Yeah,
it was pretty deep into this. So, but I really do think that. Like Dallas is just kind of taking back the momentum. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know they're going back to Phoenix for this last game, but
right.
I just feel like they've run out of gas. Like mm-hmm. I really do. I feel like they've run out of gas. Like you had such an amazing season and you gave it all you had. And I just think you've run out of gas.
Mm-hmm.
The other game, Lord, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened to mm-hmm. my team the other night. It was like, It feels like they're struggling because Steve Kerr isn't there.
I can see that.
That's what it feels like. They're struggling because in their mind, like it's almost like if Steph wasn't on the floor, like it's a piece of their team missing to them, you know, an integral piece of their team missing. And that's no knock to Mike Brown. They had a winning record with him when Steve had to be out before with his back.
Right.
But
yeah, that's, I so
feel like
so I'm not gonna perpetuate the issue that we have in our community where we talk about the issue of colorism in our community. I won't make those jokes.
Please don't. Because it ain't but just their team.
Steph and Clay.
Devin Booker. Listen, every team.
Well.
No, you're not going to. No.
Devin Booker's not playing that way. Steph and Clay are. No, but in all seriousness, I think that, and this isn't new for Steph. You know, he has had his postseason struggles.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm not really sure. I mean,
I feel like they're gonna win. Though, by the way, I do feel like the Warriors are going to win.
Okay, yeah.
There's no way after being drugged like they were the other night, and they're not gonna come back. Listen, the Splash Brothers and Draymond, and then when you get called out, Draymond, they all coming with the chip on the shoulder. Listen, they probably done been in the gym shooting the thousand shots.
Yeah.
You know, so there's no way they don't come back gritty and ready. When Clay, Draymond, it's PTSD, because Jordan Poole didn't play good either. So when that PTSD is on point, with PTSD, because we're not going to leave him out, with PTSD is on point. Without Ja Morant, I don't know what y'all going to do. I mean, the one thing that inserting Steven Adams did is definitely defend the rim.
Yeah.
They're not able to just drive in and just do that, but these dudes don't need to go to the rim to score.
They do. They have to.
Because they gotta keep it honest.
I was about to say, they gotta keep it honest, because then you don't need to defend the rim. You can go small if you don't, you know.
Right.
But what I'll say is, so the Heat already passed. I already had the Heat.
Yeah.
I think that inevitably the length of the Bucks is just going to weigh too much on the Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that Chris Paul is cursed. I do. But I don't think that they lose this round. I think they'll be in Phoenix. I think they beat the Dallas.
Okay.
But I like Luka, man. I would love to see him. I would love to see him in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
And
that matchup.
Yeah.
The Warriors and the Mavericks.
Right. Even though Memphis has a really good record without Ja Morant, this is the playoffs, and I just don't think that you are a better team without your superstars.
Nope.
I think this series was over, even though, you know, it shows the fight that Memphis has.
Absolutely.
I think this series was over when, you know, Ja Morant got injured, you know, which is unfortunate.
I hate that.
I don't think that Jordan Poole did it on purpose.
No.
You know what I'm saying? I don't think he did it on purpose.
I'm positive that he didn't. No.
But that's a sucky way for, you know what I'm saying, the series to kind of end.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Not to have it be we full force fighting out here to the end. Two teams with healthy players doing what we do, trying to make it work. Like, no, I agree. I love Ja Morant. I love his game. I love his passion. And I hate that this is happening to him. But I will say this for him. Kudos to you, young man, for the attitude that you are taking in this position. You're not moping. You're not being there. You're the biggest cheerleader for your squad. Like when your boy, what's his name? The center, Junior.
Jaren Jackson Jr.?
Jaren Jackson Jr. was being interviewed. He was back there with his own phone, like videoing him. Like, you're the biggest cheerleader. You, when you won the MVP, you sent it to, when you won your award, I mean, you sent it to your teammate. Like, you that kind of dude. And I love that. You're selfless. And so I wish him well. I hope he gets better soon and that he gets to really shine. I feel like he's going to win a couple. He gonna win a couple. It might not be in Memphis, but he gonna win
them. Yeah. He feels like a more athletic Allen Iverson.
Mm-hmm. A little taller. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, not much.
Not much. A little taller. But
They probably have him listed as 6 foot, but he's about 5'10".
Yeah. No, but he's amazing.
Yeah.
The things that he can do, he's amazing. So I wish them luck going forward. But our who's really right wasn't who's going to win these games.
No, so our who's really right ended up being who's going to win the chip. So I guess we would have to go ahead and flesh it all the way out.
Mm-hmm.
And so the difference that we had was
you got Phoenix.
You have Dallas winning, and I have Phoenix winning. So yep. What's your pick between Phoenix and Golden State?
Dallas and Golden State for me.
I mean, Dallas. Oh, yeah. Dallas and Golden State. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I got to go with my team.
Warriors.
I got to go with the Warriors.
Okay. So who you have on the other side? Because right now you have the Bucks and the Heat.
I feel like the Heat are going to win.
Okay. Who wins?
And I'll tell you why. I feel like they showed me that they can handle length.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was a crippled Joel Embiid, no knock to Giannis, but that's kind of the equivalent of mm-hmm. what he brings to the table, right? So, right. I feel like they can handle the length. So I mm-hmm. feel like it's gonna be a Heat Warriors dogfight.
Okay. So who wins the championship?
I'm worried about my Warriors, I'm not going to lie. I feel like the Heat might get them. Yeah. I
was not expecting that.
I know.
Okay. So,
yeah.
I have Phoenix losing to the Warriors, and I have the Bucks being too much of a issue with length. Because mm-hmm. we're looking at length from all over with the Bucks.
Right.
And I think even if you pack the lane and try to handle Giannis, if Chris Middleton comes back, then
they'll probably shoot you out of that.
Yeah.
That's different.
And is he is projected, I believe, if they progress, that he is projected to be back.
Okay.
Then I have the Bucks versus the Warriors.
Yep.
And I think I'm taking the Bucks to repeat as champions if that happens.
Okay. So I got the Heat and you got
the Heat. I got the Bucks. Who do you guys think is really right? Or if you have your own selection,
yeah.
that's different than what yeah. we selected, you tell us who's really right. Real good topics.
Yep.
All right. So I feel like every few months we have this discussion about fans and what they yeah. think is acceptable for themselves.
Yeah.
And it's becoming annoying because the level of entitlement that these fans have when it comes to the players, and in this case, the players' families, is just annoying. And it's really going to take for one of these fans to truly get their butt whooped. Truly get their butt whipped for them to see that, yeah, you can't just be running up on these players or their mamas. So for those of you who don't know,
somebody's mama, y'all really trying to die. Right. That's what it is.
A Dallas Mavericks fan went too far, and he actually pushed Chris Paul's mother and wife, apparently.
And followed them.
Huh?
When they were leaving the arena.
And so Chris Paul kind of got all up in there, and he
as well he should have.
And he was upset as he should have been.
Well, he should have.
Mm-hmm. And he was like, you know, he said on Twitter after that, like, these fans feel like they can just do whatever, like they gonna touch our families, like. He said, forget
that. I'm not a celebrity and you can't touch my family. Right. So, stranger danger. No.
He used a little more colorful language than I just used.
Of course he did. Probably felt that way at the moment. So, yes. Mm-hmm.
What do you think will be a deterrent? Because Charles Barkley gave his solution. He said,
listen, Charles Barkley's solution was making me smile, okay? I know it's wrong, but it was so funny.
Uh-huh.
What Charles Barkley said was, y'all just need to clear the court
uh-huh.
and get these players 5 minutes in the middle of the court with these people who got all this stuff to say and all these things they doing and just see how it goes down. So clearly I'm not going to advocate violence, right? I'm not going to advocate violence. I'm not. Although certain, I don't know how I would personally react. So
exactly. That's why I'm not even going.
Saying that certain, it's not possible. I'm saying that I'm not going to advocate it. Okay.
Well, no. You have to advocate certain forms of violence. You have to, because
some violence is necessary.
Some violence is necessary. This country was built on violence. We are not sitting here today without violence.
It's true. You're right. But here's what I say. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of what they're already doing. And the bad part about it is it's being reactive instead of proactive. So I don't really know. Even violence is reactive, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know what a proactive solution. You're the solution guy. I'm sure you're gonna have a great response to this. Mm-hmm. But I am a huge proponent of proactive, being proactive. And I've pondered, what could you do? You don't know until it happens, unfortunately, in these situations, right? And so I feel like what they're doing is probably the best solution that is not involved violence. And that is banning these people once they do these things that are outside of the realm. Now, what I feel like they don't do enough of is checking the people who are like jarring and saying rude things to the players.
Right.
I think they could do a better job of that, right? If because it's been a minute since I've been to a professional basketball game, but most basketball games have ushers stationed pretty regularly.
Yeah.
And they can hear and see what's going on. So the moment you hear a fan, maybe there's some training that needs to happen for them to help them to recognize and say, this is above and beyond what is considered okay, right? This is rude, this is detrimental to, like, you know, that kind of thing. And so if they could maybe train the ushers in that respect to be able to pinpoint and say this is beyond what, and maybe it's calling security at that point, having security come have a conversation with that person. You're not gonna be able to keep doing this. If we come back, you gotta go and you'll be banned. Mm-hmm. Like of course I'm a process person. So putting a process in place like that would be my solution that does not require me to beat you to dust in the middle of the floor.
Well, so there really is no proactive solution.
Yeah.
There's no way to know which of these fans
exactly
are going to act the way they act.
Right.
It feels like in at least some of the cases, alcohol is an issue.
Yeah, a lot of the times, I'm sure.
Well, but this little guy, I don't know that alcohol.
He was young.
He was a young guy.
And
he didn't look like, there's no way for us to know. He could have just been someone who holds their alcohol well.
Yeah.
So did you see what happened to the guy who ran up and tackled Dave Chappelle?
How he got beat up?
Yeah, you saw what happened to him, right?
Yes, I saw it.
That's my reactive solution. No, so this is where I am an advocate for certain types of violence.
Who is it that's supposed to do this though?
All of these big time players have security.
Oh, so their own personal security should take care of people who are talking junk.
If I'm hiring security, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I'm a professional player. Mm-hmm. I'm hiring security for my family as well.
Mm-hmm.
Who are sitting in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter how many of them is, I got enough security right there to take care of my family.
Mm-hmm.
The moment somebody gets touched.
Oh, yeah.
Beat them like a drum.
No, well, because, I mean, but I'm talking about, like, yeah, no, how, I agree. Like,
how much you know, do you want to bet?
That's a great reactive solution.
How much do you want to bet that nobody's going to run up on stage?
Oh, and Dave nobody Chappelle else? Again? Oh, no.
No, that's not going to happen.
Especially if they know Jamie Foxx is in the house.
Yeah. Or John Stewart.
Yep.
And Busta Rhymes.
Oh, gosh. Woo.
you know, in all seriousness, I would like to think that that would be a deterrent, but you never know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, again, alcohol makes people, what does Outkast say?
Call spirits for
dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah. Booze make you dumb. So
they're called spirits for a reason.
Yes. So I don't know. You know, you can feel like you can, I think of a security force, somebody as large as an athlete, you got to be a pretty large person, right? Mm-hmm. To be security for an athlete. So I'm thinking about like Tiny or, you know, somebody like Tiny, what's his name?
Tiny Lister.
Like that, like, I don't know if the alcohol will have you getting yourself killed. That's all I'm gonna tell you. Yeah. So I think it's unfortunate. I think that it needs to be addressed, and it may be that they need to do some public announcements before the game start to give rules, like if you do this, you gotta go and you won't be allowed back in here. Mm-hmm. So maybe that will deter some people, right?
From feeling like they're
entitled to say whatever.
No, that's already a thing. They already say that.
I ain't never heard that.
You talking about at the games?
Yes.
Like going to a game?
Yes.
If you go to an NBA game now, you're going to hear, before the game starts, them giving you the rules on interacting with the players.
Never heard that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it ain't been that long.
No,
I went to a Hornets game in Charlotte, so I didn't need it, but okay.
Did you get there before the game? Yeah, and they may need to make that announcement
periodically.
Yeah,
because I know I've not heard it, and I'm usually there. I don't get there too far after the game starts, but I might not be there in my seat before the game starts.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that may be something they need to think about is repeating that statement multiple mm-hmm. times throughout a game just to remind people, listen, this is not tolerated and we're not going to deal with it. Like, maybe embarrassing them. I don't know. Anyway.
Right.
All right.
Well, being that everything is a clout chase now, I think some people will welcome the embarrassment. So,
yeah, you're right.
You know,
unfortunately.
Beat them like a drum. Pain is medicine. No, I'm sorry. All right, let's go to the next topic.
Okay.
So the MLB is going to start playing international games in 2023, 2024, and 2025. So this has become a trend in American sports. Do you think it's smart?
Two reasons I say no currently. I would have said yes, because I feel like it's a great thing to expose the world to, you know, all sorts of sports and all that kind of thing. But currently, with our current climate, with the war that is happening, and it seems like it's about to become a world war, as Finland and Sweden have decided to join NATO.
Yeah.
So they picking a side, basically.
They need America.
Picking a side. Everybody need us to protect them. Mm-hmm. So here we go. But the other thing obvious is the obvious thing, and that is people act like we're not still independent.
Okay.
And I know this is 2023. And so even when it's an endemic, right? When it's not a pandemic anymore, there will be the threat of this always.
Mm-hmm.
You can easily, with all of the mutations and all, it could easily end up being a disaster again.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to see that happen. And so, you know, those are the reasons. Those are my... logical paranoid, I guess, reasons for why I don't think it's a good idea right now. In general, I think it's a great idea. I love it. I love the exposure that it brings. I love the idea that someone in Germany, because I think there's a football game going that's going to be played in Germany next year.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah.
And so I can't remember which teams it is, but yeah. So Like, I feel like that's giving people a great insight into American culture, because sports is such a huge piece of our culture.
Really?
I love that. For that reason, I love it. But yeah, just my logical side over here, like, it's a pandemic and a war. Y'all really want to be planning the, until we know better. I just feel like until we know better with both of those things, I don't see planning these things just doesn't sound smart.
If you are the MLB and you have gone from America's game to fighting for third place with hockey as in American sports, you have to do this. It's not even that it's smart. It's the only way, because
it's NBA, the business.
Right. The NBA did the best job of globalizing the game.
Yes.
Right. And the sport grew exponentially to the point where, you know, they
every country got a team, pretty much. Right. Yeah, at least one team. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the NFL followed suit. And you can see it with their programs where they have players who are getting opportunities from Mexico.
Yeah.
They're learning the game in different countries. And
right.
Those players are getting the opportunity to come over and try out for NFL teams.
Right, right.
So you're globalizing the game that way and actually playing games over in different countries. And so the NFL isn't where the NBA is, but they're becoming more of a global game.
Right? They are, yeah.
MLB, people in America barely watch it. Now, I get it. They have the highest payroll, right?
Yes.
But when you look at the fact that they play the most games, and they generate they generate so much more revenue because they're playing more games, then yeah, their payroll is going to be a little higher, but it's not as high as it could be if you were to globalize the game. And you're losing steam, because in a minute, hockey is going to be in third place by itself. And then where would an MLB be?
And so in my head, I thought MLB was already more global than most sports because of the huge population of, you know, South Americans or, you know, people who are coming from other countries who play the sport here. I don't know what, I kind of felt like it was already more global, but I think they're meaning like they want to take it like across the pond global. Right. And that's different. And so I see that. Because as it stands, this is the most international sport other than soccer that we have.
So MLB is diverse.
It is.
It's not global.
That's what I said. It's, but yeah. It's the most international. That's what I said. Most international sport. It's not global. And that is different. So I see that.
Yeah. And they have to do it. Because the sport will end up dying. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, you already losing steam with the players and like the season not starting on time. Now, obviously, people are still going to watch the MLB, but some of those salaries are going to start to come down. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, some of that bargaining power that the players are going to have, they're going to start to lose steam.
Yeah.
And, you know, ultimately, some of the owners of the sport are going to start to divest. So,
yeah. No, you're right. I see it. See, that's, you're the businessman. You always come from a business perspective.
Right.
I see it. Look, I'm over here like a mama.
Right.
Do y'all want to go out here with the pandemic and the war?
We all trying to go back outside. Why y'all always?
Oh, gosh. Oh, so man. Funny. All right. Yeah.
All right. Let's jump to this NIL topic, though, because I feel like this was, one, a necessary evil. Evil in the sense that, like, you know, it's regulation and we know how, you know, what can happen with regulation sometimes.
Yeah.
But necessary in the sense that, like, this NIL stuff, these people have lost their mind.
They have abused.
Yeah.
It's been an abuse of what was supposed to be a good thing.
Yeah.
They have defiled it. Let's say that. Yeah. Like, literally, they've defiled it. And it's unfortunate. for the players, because it's the athletes who are going to suffer in the long run. This right. was the whole point of doing it, right?
Right.
Let's do this for them. Well, no, it was really not their point. Their point was, fine, we're going to let y'all do this, and when it fall apart, you'll be back, right? That's really what they did it for.
Right.
But, and it's happening, but hopefully the ship can turn around. So I'm glad they made this, like you said, necessary evil. This regulation yeah. was necessary.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I knew it was going to end up being the Wild Wild West once it got introduced, but I was like, okay, after that, it'll get figured out. Because what we yeah. can't have, we can't fully turn NCAA football into having a free agency.
You know, that's what I'm essentially, saying? I mean, yeah, it's essentially.
Players are transferring.
Yep. I had that conversation with somebody about the portal. The yeah. transfer portal, and they were like, I hate it because it's like yeah. free agency.
Yeah. I mean, I do feel like they should have their choice, but I feel like it should be more than, I feel like I sound like one of those old get off my lawn guys.
Oh, Lord.
I feel like they should have their choice, but it shouldn't be like the Wild Wild West.
Yeah. No,
and I guess the market will reset itself.
Everything needs regulations and boundaries. Yeah. Nothing can just be free flow.
Right. Especially with capitalism.
Right. Especially. So you got to put some rules and regulations. So we have mm-hmm. not said what this is yet. This,
yes. I'm sorry.
The NCAA has basically weighed in and said, hey, these boosters are getting with these collectives, and the collectives are like these companies that have just popped up of people mm-hmm. who are just kind of I don't know what to call it. I want to say a right word. I was going to use the wrong word. Lord. It's pimping out. That's what I want to say. Pimping out these kids, basically.
Yeah.
And so these boosters are being approached or going into partnership with these collectives in order to say, hey, we'll give a deal to this kid if you get him to come to this school.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've cut this out, basically. If there's a booster who has a relationship with a collective, they cannot be involved with a student athlete at the high school level or even at the collegiate level in being influencing where they go to school. Right. And I think that's a good thing because these kids need to not go to school based on who's going to give me the most money. That's not what mm-hmm. this is about. Like, again, the NIL, I agree with it because I know for a fact, I've seen it, how these student athletes struggle financially, and it's hard and it's not fair. So that I see, but then I see the other side of this but you should be in school for education.
Right.
I'm sorry, it's the educator in me that won't let me say, you, if you're going to take the moment and embrace this opportunity to go to school, make the most of it. Don't just go with the intent of making money or going to professional. How many of y'all going to really get that?
Right. You know, to that point, you just kind of swayed me with your argument.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, you go to school to get a job to make money. Now, we're not talking about the purpose part of this, or, you know what I'm saying? That's something different, and that's where the Field to the Real project comes in.
Yes.
But if the point is, let's go to school to get a degree that will give me training for a job that's going to make money, some of these guys are getting these NIL deals that are going to set them up for more money than they'll make in their entire career as something that they're going to go to school for.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I do think, and this is something that we talked about when we first talked about NIL, before NIL was even a thing, when we talked about players being compensated for, you know, going to college.
Yeah.
This money needs to be put in the trust, and they can't touch it until they graduate. Mm-hmm. And I mean,
you need
graduate.
To still be about your business of where you're here for.
So what this does is, even if you go to the NFL and you leave early and you don't graduate at the time, you're going to the NFL, so that money stays in the trust if you get injured in a year or two, you go finish your degree.
That's right.
Still got access to that money.
That's right. That's right. I mean, right. How many of these athletes do we see finally going back to? Jerome Bettis just graduated, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, how many do we see once they're done with the sport and they're like, they might take some time, but they feel eventually like, you know what? I do need to go back and get my degree. Like, and it may not be anything that's going to help them have more money or any of that, but right. it's what they want. It's the completion of the task or the... Right. Or even the what, and some of them it is like, I really am going into this now that I'm not playing sport anymore. Right. So I just feel like I just don't want this to be a deterrent for that. And I love your idea. I think it's terrific. Mm-hmm. Put it in a trust. You don't get it until you get done.
Yeah.
Period.
Shout out to Anthony Anderson, who just went back to Howard and got his degree.
Of course you would.
Well, it popped in my mind because I was going to say some players, shout out to Antoine Bethea, they don't even wait until their career is over.
Right.
But they ended up going to finish his degree the year that they had the lockout.
Mm-hmm.
He went, finished it, was done in May, and got his degree. Yeah. I want to say that. What year was that? Was that 2011? 2011.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying, I just want them, you know, again, the educator in me, the mama part of me mm-hmm. says, like, I don't want everybody, because there will be a lot of kids who won't get NIL deals.
Yeah.
They need not to feel like, I don't know. It's so many feelings around this NIL thing for me. I'm a proponent, but there again, boundaries, rules, regulations, some stuff needs to be set up, period. Mm-hmm. Definitely. That's how I feel.
I'm with you. Real roll call.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to have to set our time limit.
All right.
1 minute, 30 seconds apiece.
All right.
And we're going to start off with this sport that is ironic that the other day when you and I spoke about this sport, we spoke about it with the intent of speaking about it on the podcast this week.
Yeah.
And then ironically, I go over to Fuller's Recreational Center over in East Cobb, Georgia. And they have a whole open gym for pickleball. So we've been hearing, you know, that was ironic. We've been hearing about pickleball.
No, we haven't. You have.
Well, I've been hearing about pickleball and you ended up hearing about it. You someone gave you the suggestion to speak about it.
Shout out to Nate. Thank you, Nate.
Yes, Nate. Thank you, man. do you think this will end up being a new sports craze? And go.
So, no, I didn't know anything about pickleball until Nate brought it up to me, but apparently pickleball is the thing. Mm-hmm. In Charlotte, where I moved from, they just actually built an entire facility just to have pickleball tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
Go figure. Okay. Yeah. So this makes me think of disc golf, how disc golf kind of started out in little spaces and now it's this huge thing. I feel like I know it's a sport for seniors, I'll say. More seniors are playing pickleball than others, right? Yeah. Right now. But I feel like we have a huge population of seniors. And so this may be why pickleball will take off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so too. I think that and when I went into the Fuller's Recreational Center the other day, it was nothing but seniors.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's dope that it keeps them active.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm here for it.
So
Nate, I hope you don't mind. I was about to share Nate. I hope you don't mind. Nate said his stepmother is the one that introduced him to pickleball, and she asked him to play, and he thought he beat her because he's 30 years her junior, and she whooped his butt. So let's just say pickleball is real, y'all.
Yeah. Okay. All right, next one.
Yeah.
Legal troubles abound. Brett Favre is being sued in Mississippi for welfare fraud. React.
What the what? I don't even understand this. Like, and it's all so much stuff. A lot of these things that are going or coming to light are around fraud and and, you know, like people misappropriating funds and doing things that getting funds that they shouldn't have had. Like, I don't know why Brett Favre need any money from the welfare system. I have no idea. But to Brett came out and said he had no idea where the money came from. He went to do a speaking engagement and they paid him with monies that weren't. And so now they, because he's Brett Favre, your name was attached to it, bro. And they're gonna drag you through the mud just to make an example.
Yeah. My mother said, if you don't have nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all.
Okay. All right. No problem. Okay. No, you good.
Oh, like, we're out of time. We're out of time. Good. We are out of time.
Good. Darn it. Darn it.
All right, now let's jump to this subject.
Oh, you're gonna like this one. Now you can talk on this one. I'm gonna be able to talk on this one. You got the whole minute. Go ahead, because I was like, what?
Yeah, she says that she's growing impatient after having the fourth highest salary cap, luxury tax in the league. That she shoulders some of the blame for trying to put together a super team react.
Yep. Go.
Okay. Now listen. Let me tell you something, Jeannie. For the last 10 to 12 years, the Lakers have been in the abyss of the NBA. The only thing that helped the Lakers a little bit was, one, Kobe Bryant retiring and his farewell tour and bringing LeBron James to LA. You got one championship out of that. The issue is that you're running this business over there, and you're, one, there's too many cooks in the kitchen, and two, it's too much nepotism. There's no reason why Kurt Rambis should be making decisions for any NBA team at this point. And the fact that you're bringing back, what is his name? Phil Jackson, to make personnel decisions is telling. You saw what he did in New York.
I was just about to say, he bombed in New York, but okay.
Yeah, so have at it, Jeannie. If
you can't be impatient, though.
Yeah.
You can't. Mm-hmm. No. Okay.
All right, last one. Do you feel like it's been a dirty series between the Grizzlies and the Warriors? React.
It's tough. I feel like it's been a passionate series. And in that passion, there have been some questionable things. I mean, clearly, the Draymond Green thing was one that's more apparent than most. Yeah. Not sure if Brooks was really trying to hurt Peyton. Just passionate and, you know, everybody trying to, you know, and that's a young team. Let's be clear. Like, that's a young team. So they looking at this like, woo, you know. So
yeah.
I don't want to say it was dirty. And I definitely have to say this. I do not believe Jordan Poole was purposely did what happened to John Morant.
I don't think that was purposeful either. I wouldn't say it was dirty. Like you said, passionate, I would say it's been questionable plays, but dirty is how they used to play in the 80s. Right. Where they wanted to call it basketball and being tough. Right. That was dirty.
Yeah. I agree. Right.
That's it for real roll call. Mental health moment.
Well, this is a both.
This is a both right here? Okay.
This is a mental health moment and an onto the room.
Okay.
Yeah. This is about a swimmer, former Olympic swimmer, Emily Clue. So she swam for, obviously, the U.S. Mm-hmm. And because of her own, this is why I always tell people your pain is probably your passion and your purpose, right? Mm-hmm. Because so often the things that we go through bring us realization of where we really want to put our efforts. And so that's true for her because she ended up becoming a mental health officer for the USPCO, which is the Olympic Committee. Yes. She actually was in Beijing during the Olympics serving, helping people. Obviously, that was probably the most intense Olympics we've experienced because of COVID, and because people were in a bubble, and because there was so much, you know, just around that isolation and all that kind of stuff. So I'm sure they were quite busy helping people to maintain their mental health during that time. And so kudos to her for one, recognizing her own mental health struggles as she was, you know, a part of the Olympic team. And even in her journey to the Olympics, she talks about how she, you know, would feel certain ways and not really address them. And so she finally, when she finally addressed them, I think it gave her the bug, right? And she just said, let me go and let me do this for a living. And so kudos to her. That's why she, it's both her mental health, her own recognition and acknowledgement of her own mental health issues that she's been able to find tools and strategies to work through and get her in a better space. And of course, when you're not competing, it's a little easier. So kudos to her for that. But then also to not only figure out how for herself she could do better, but to figure out how she can help other people. And that's amazing. I love it.
Yeah, no, this is a beautiful story. And like you said, like we see, it's nice to see people eventually get to this point where, like you said, their pain becomes their passion, which leads to their purpose.
Absolutely.
So shout out to her for, you know, recognizing it and steering herself in that direction, because some people ignore it.
And who's going to listen? And the thing is, like, because she's been an Olympic athlete, because she knows exactly what they're going through, they're paying attention when she talks. So I love this
level of credibility
for her and the people that she touches.
All right, feel good final thought.
Yes.
And you know,
it's a little different today. It's a little different today. Yeah.
So Rich Strike is,
oh my gosh,
that horse was the winner of the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah.
He had 80-1 odds. And I remember, shout out to Cheese. Cheese is one of my guys who, he does a lot of gambling. I don't want to say it like that, like he got a problem, but he gambles.
Okay.
And so he gambles. And so, you know, he'll talk about stuff like this, like the odds of, you know, one team winning over another.
Right, right.
And I remember when he put in our group chat that Rich Strike had actually won the Kentucky Derby.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what the odds were, but I know that he wasn't nowhere on that list of the horses that they thought were going to win. And I automatically thought to myself, man, I could have put some money on that horse and won some money.
Yeah. But, well, and you would have had to do it really quickly, because he actually was a replacement for a horse that got disqualified.
Right.
So he wasn't even
there. He wasn't even supposed to be in there.
He wasn't on nobody's radar. So it would have had to have been a miracle for you to even, like, you would have had to be at Kentucky, in Kentucky at the Derby, like, let me run and do this.
Oh, no. With the way they got stuff now, you know, well, I wouldn't have been able to do it in Georgia the conventional way. Now, I got ways to make some bets now. But, but if you got something like FanDuel, it gets updated as it happens, and then you can go ahead and place your money in and do it when you see that.
You know that ain't my thing, so I don't know. But
like you said, most people probably wouldn't even have looked right before the race to say, let me put a bet on this race horse that just got tossed in there. You know what I'm saying?
Because it was like he was a place filler. I feel like they felt like he was just going to, they needed somebody in lane 8. Right? So we're just going to put him in and whatever. Because the other part of this story that I love is this is a horse that costs $30,000.
Right.
Every other horse in the race,
millions of dollars
was spent. This horse, $30,000. And the second thing I loved about this is this horse's groomer is a black man.
Yes.
Who just, it was the most beautiful picture that they put up of him hugging the horse. He had the horse's head, because, you know, they're large.
Yeah.
The horse's head is like hugging him after he won.
Yeah.
And I just think that's beautiful. Yeah. I cried when I saw this. I literally did. I did. I couldn't.
Yeah.
It was.
No, I mean, understandably so. Like, this was, you know, this is one of those, you know, I love a good underdog story. Mm-hmm. And so this is one of those underdog stories you see and you're like, wow, like they really did that.
And somebody, I saw, somebody posted on Facebook this whole story about this, but what I loved in the post was the way that they presented this is something, of course, I'm always looking for the lesson and stuff, right? And so this was a horse. Nobody had any thought that he'd be in the race. Nobody believed he would win. Nobody thought, you know, he would do anything, but he never doubted himself. He didn't have any of those things hanging on him. He thought he could do what he went out and he did it. And right. I love that thought process. Yeah. Like, we need to be that way. You know what I mean? Like, well, I don't care about the odds, the obstacles, the next person, just go do you.
Right.
And it paid off.
Yeah.
I loved it. Okay. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Nah, yeah. Shout out to Rich Strike. Shout out to that whole team. Shout out to his groomer.
Importantly. Yes. All of y'all.
Oh, yeah.
Look, y'all, your life is different today, okay?
Yeah.
And then when the race started, your life was different from that today.
Right.
Yeah.
I wonder what that check looks like.
Anyway, right. all of y'all, like, woo, life is different, okay? Yeah.
Show picks. What you watching?
Yeah. Obviously, the NBA got my attention right now because of the playoffs. But I watched this movie with Jason Statham. It's called Wrath of a Man. Wrath of Man. On Netflix. Let me tell you something.
Check that out.
See, I watched it just because it's Jason Statham. Because I love myself some Jason Statham. Okay. I love his movies. I do. I love his movies. And he does not disappoint. That's all I'm gonna say about it. He does not disappoint. Yeah, it's his I don't want to give it away, so I'm not gonna tell, but it's
okay.
Yeah, because you don't know what's happening until like mid movie, and then it's one of these movies that goes back and forth in time. So you gotta really be paying attention to what's happening, but it's so good.
Is it back and forth in time, like it goes into a retrospective, or is it like kind of shot like a Quentin Tarantino movie?
Yeah, like 3 months, 5 months.
Okay.
2 months later. Like, it's like that.
Okay.
Like 2 weeks ago, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's good. What you watch?
I'm going to have to check that out.
No, so, it's good.
I can't blame my wife for this. I cannot
blame
her.
You better not blame my sister for nothing.
I can't blame her for having me watch trash TV because I was already...
No, because you like real...
I was already... Right. I was already watching trash
TV. You watched trash already, yes.
But one day, she was watching Put a Ring on It, and I was sitting there just kind of looking. And I started watching Put a Ring on It, and now I can't stop.
Really?
Yes.
I heard of it. My aunt tried to get me to watch this show. I was like, I can't. It's much like Ultimatum to me. I'm like, I can't watch that stuff.
So, yes. I think the journey is the kind of the interesting thing about it, though.
Okay.
It's not the pressure that's being applied. It's the journey. It's how we get to the point of making a decision if, you know, you do move forward or if you make the decision, this enough of me. You know,
okay.
So to kind of watch some of the stuff unfold and people's reactions to it, like it's an interesting show.
Ronnie got you hooked.
Yeah. And it's funny, one of my boys, shout out to my bro Dirk, he came over to the house the other day, and I just knew that he was about to make jokes and clown when he was watching it.
Yeah.
He's on season 3.
Well, you know what? That speaks volumes to me, though, that men are captivated by it. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, no, for real. That speaks volumes to me because most of these shows are very women driven, right? Like, ones that want to see, you know, all of the, but it's interesting to hear that men are captivated by this. So I'll go and check it out, I guess.
Yeah, you got to check it out.
See. All right.
All right. So we are at the end of another one, episode 160. We certainly want you guys to continue to interact with us. Shout out to Auntie. Auntie, the next time we have Baby Drew on the podcast, we will do a better job. We're going to make a whole
big deal about it.
Yeah, we will do a better job of introducing him.
Yo, my aunt was like, I was mad with y'all.
No, we will do a better job, Auntie. We apologize.
Oh, jeez.
I think he enjoyed himself.
He did. Yes, he did. I enjoyed him, whether he enjoyed it or not. Yeah.
But if you want to reach out to us via email and provide us some feedback, or send us some info for you being on the show, you can hit us up at field2therealpodcast@gmail.com. We have a Twitter account, at field2therealp1. Still upset about that after so many years later. Our IG account is at field2therealpodcast, which is the same thing that I wanted the Twitter account to be, but I digress. Yes. And if you look above Stephanie's head, you will see how to search for our Facebook and our YouTube pages. That's Field, no number, to the Real Podcast. So reach out to us. Definitely go to our YouTube. See, right. So go to our YouTube page, like, share, subscribe, comment. Share, like, oh, I did say share already.
Share with some people. Say it again, share.
That yes. You would think that would appreciate a good show talking about sports, but not just talking about what happens in between the lines.
That's right.
And our Facebook page, our videos show up on there as well. They're all kind of linked. So yeah, just
subscribe. And I'm gonna say this because we never subscribe, and then hit the bell for the notification.
Hit that like button. Yeah.
As all things come out, like right. You'll know.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But as always, we truly appreciate you guys for listening. This is episode 160, and we are out of here. Peace.
Now put the cameras on me, 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 put the cameras on me.